and we just go with it.
But how close should I have this to my face?
It depends how loud you talk. But if you are right there, that's fine.
Okay.
But if you, yeah, that's even better.
Okay, cool.
I think the louder, the better. All right. Welcome to Elevate Today podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Nolan, it is nice to meet you.
Likewise.
This is our, probably like our 11th minute talking for our very first time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think most podcasts, you usually start talking with the host well before you actually show up to the podcast. So, yeah.
Yeah. But you ended up, you've been to my house before with my dad.
Apparently, yeah. So, a little backstory. So, I am a former UFC fighter, former world champion one time, and I guess now former fighter. And when I was 18, 19, you know, back in the game, I believe your dad is the inventor of the yoke system.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was training over in Gilroy, I believe like somebody caught wind of it over there and got like your dad's systems into Gilroy. And we actually, I believe, got invited one time to come here to your dad's house and work out and use the yoke bar. And it was a great workout. I mean, and you know, and here we are now, like years later. I'm not working out this time, but you know, we're working out the mind, maybe.
Yes, that's so true. It's all connected. Mm-hmm. Strong mind, strong body.
Something like that.
So, I found you through your Instagram, which is crazy because this world is so small. We have so much of the same mutual people. But your page is very interesting, and the controversial one, I barely found your personal, but I was like, dang, it's rare to see this in this area. And it's rare to like be able to contact someone doing this kind of work. So like what led to Not So Smooth Talk in starting that?
Yeah. So what you're referring to is a little side project that I have. It's called Not So Smooth Talk, as you mentioned. Basically, it's kind of me voicing my opinion about a lot of things that I think aren't very controversial at all. I think people make them controversial in the sense that they don't want to accept reality and they want to live in their own space, in their own bubble. As you mentioned, we're living in Silicon Valley, right? So it's, and in California, one of the most liberal places to be. And now, like I mentioned, it just came as a side project of mine, voicing my opinion. I think that a lot of people, if you go on the page and you hear the conversations that I'm having with people, those ideas that I'm, or those questions rather that I'm asking, have an answer that I go out and try to get from people that disagree with me, knowing that they will disagree with me, just to kind of exemplify how bad the state of mental health is, at least in the area that I'm living in. And, you know, the things that I talk about are things that I truly believe. I think that, and we'll get to these points in a minute, but I think that there's reality, we're living in it, and just because you identify or you say you are one thing versus another doesn't make them real. And again, we can get into depth a little bit later once we kind of dive a little more into this.
Mm-hmm. And so how long ago did you start this project?
I think the page is like... like a month old, maybe 2 months now. I don't know. I'm bad with time, but yeah, it's relatively new. I think if I'm following the numbers correctly, I have like 125 followers, which, you know, in retrospect is not a whole lot of numbers, but it's, as I'm sure you know, a podcast and a platform takes time to build.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm trying to do is build. I'm trying to have interesting questions, different perspectives, from people that I interview out in the streets. That's kind of my format. I just go out to the streets and I ask strangers. I don't tell them to say a single word. I just go ask questions, and on occasion I will fact check people.
So you have to study before you get into these?
I do a little bit of my research. Yeah, I do a little bit of the research. And you know, I think that a lot of times when people are going out and surveying and canvassing people, it's, my advice to people is, make sure that you know where you're getting your facts from, because just because it's on the internet, I'm sure we all know, it doesn't mean it's true. Yep. So there's a lot of publications with bias. And of course, we all have bias in this world, but I try to stay away from it, when at least when I'm doing like the numbers, right? Because people lie, women lie, numbers don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so, sort of speak, right? This is a metaphor. So I try to get my information from objective perspectives as possible that I can.
Mm-hmm. Dang. And what has been the general responses you've got since you've been doing this?
I mean, the general response from people typically is very supportive, at least on my end. The people that follow the page, obviously, right? Because I mean, they're following it for one reason or another. They gotta agree. I would say that I'm a very disagreeable person when it comes to canvassing people out in the community, because I've been called a transphobe, a fucking homophobe, a whatever phobe you want to call me, to the point where I actually think those are compliments, because I reject these ideas so much that it's a compliment. People know where I stand, and I think that when you're calling me those names, I actually take it as a compliment. I really do. I've been shoved. I've been called a liar. I've been called, I think one trans person that I interviewed said that I was trying to genocide them, which is not the case. I'm not, and that's another thing I want to talk about, is like, I think a lot of people that might see my content or follow me on Instagram think that I hate gay people or trans people or non-binary people or any spectrum of the LGBTQI plus whatever. I don't hate these people. I don't hate anybody, really.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that, I just don't agree with them. And it's kind of, they claim to be the party of acceptance and peace and love, etc. Up until you disagree with them. Because the minute you disagree with them, it's, you know, all hell breaks loose, so to speak. And like I mentioned, they call you whatever name they can, and they actually, they're super violent people. They really are. I mean, from what I've seen, they're really fucking violent people. And there's a video out where I think I got shoved by a woman. I presume was a woman. I think she was a woman. Where she shoved me, and I wasn't doing anything to her. We were having a conversation. I was speaking in a I thought calm manner, and it took, you know, I didn't really think about it too much, but, you know, people were commenting and saying like, oh man, you must have had a lot of, or they were just saying props to you for being so calm. And I was like, I didn't really think about it, but, you know, at the same time, I was like, I go into these things and I don't look for physical confrontation. I look for conversation, which a lot of these people, unfortunately, are not willing to have.
I notice a lot of them come into the conversation super, like, kind of down to be on camera, down to speak their opinion. And then as soon as they get a hint for your views, it's like, attack. Like, they're ready to bite. They're ready to fight back. And very often, there's not this conversation that can happen of like, oh, well, why do you think like this? It's as soon as they know your difference of opinion, they bite back.
Yeah. So let me give you a little quick story. And actually, this video I took down because it didn't capture the full context of the whole conversation, and it was for, and that was one. And then another thing, it was just really, really long. It was like 10 minutes long, and let's be honest, I think most people on Instagram don't have the attention span for more than like even a minute and a half.
Yeah.
And so, but to run you down over the situation was, I, along with my cameraman, my buddy Kevin, we went over to downtown San Jose at a trans or a drag brunch, right? I had the intent of going up to a drag person and asking like, hey, do you think that it's okay to perform drag in front of children? And that's not to say that there was children at the event. I just wanted to get their opinion about it, right? Just overall. And unfortunately, I was shut down before I could even start to ask the drag people the questions, because I believe actually she's a director of the LGBTQ inclusive chief something, and it was a man, right? As a trans woman, it was a man. Drag. This wasn't a drag person. He was just dressed as a regular person trying to be a woman, and we had a conversation for, you know, like I mentioned, 10 minutes, and it started off really good. I thought, you know, I was, you know, asking them questions and stuff, and they seemed somewhat involved in the conversation. And then the minute I asked, hey, is it okay if I go and talk to one of your drag friends, he automatically like shut me down and was like, no, right? And I was like, and I just didn't think that was good, because in order, let's say you want me to understand your point of view and you want me to understand your perspective, I think that there has to be conversation involved for me to try to understand. Likewise, there is conversation to be had for you to try to understand my point. And the minute that you shut down on conversation, when it comes to anything, really, you're not voicing your opinion and you're not trying to make your point, and you kind of, you know, you don't give the space for people to understand where you're coming from. And that's, I took issue with that. And then he started pressing me over just stupid questions, really, just really stupid questions. Like, I can't really recall. I'd have to go back to the video, but he started asking me stupid questions, just trying to deflect. Mm-hmm. And I kept, we had a, you know, debate right there and then, and it lasted, you know, quite a while, and I got nothing from it other than the dude was just not full of any answers. He was more full of questions, which I guess I understand, right? Because I'm here doing the same, asking questions. But it seemed like he genuinely knew the answer. He just didn't want to provide an answer for the questions that I was giving him. And in turn, deflecting. Just, that's what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. Dang. And what is it that makes you keep doing it? Keep going back? When you see how much, like, there's not a lot of, you know, discussion that comes from it. You're looking, yeah, for mutual conversation, neutral conversation, mm-hmm, but you don't get that. What makes you go again?
So to answer that is I care, right? And I get asked a lot whenever I go out and canvass these people. They're like, why do you care?
Yeah.
I get that asked a lot. In fact, I sometimes bounce ideas back and forth between my parents, and they ask me the same thing. Why do you care? Let people live. Let them do their thing. A little backstory. I was more on the liberal side, I'd say about 3 years ago, as a matter of fact. And I thought the same thing. I was like, you know what? It's not really affecting me, and that's okay. You know, they're living their life, and, you know, I'm living my life, and we all, yeah, have different lives to live. And that still does hold true. However, I care about it because I think that, well, listen, you and I live in a society. Your family lives in a society. My family lives in a society. I think the question that comes up, or that should come up more often, is what kind of society do we want to live in, mm-hmm, right? And if you were to ask me that personally, I'll answer that for you, is I want to live in a society where, you know, and this gets repeated a lot, men are men and women are women, and you can't be, you can try to identify and be whatever you think you might want to be, but the reality of it is, you're born a certain way, and that's the way you should try to live your life. I understand there's mental illnesses, and, you know, I do want to give some room for that, because I think a lot of these people do live in their own bubble and can't see outside of that. And again, it's a mental illness, I believe. And like, I just, you know, bringing it back to, I want to live in a society that's healthy. I think we all do. I want to raise my kids in a society where it's okay to say that you're a boy. It's okay to be a girl. And not just that, but, you know, you start, it's a slippery slope, I believe, right? Where you have instances of biological men competing against women in sports. Listen, if I have a daughter one day, I want her to compete in sports. The last thing I fucking want is for some fucking dude, you know what I mean? To be up in there. And it is funny, right? When you hear it, but honestly, like, it really does upset me. It's one of those things that I don't want for to happen, and because I don't know how I'd react in the situation. You know what I mean?
Hasn't it already happened?
It's happened many times. As a matter of fact, I mean, I can give you instances. For example, I mean, I think one of the more popular ones right now is the Leah Thomas, who's a biological man, again, that swam competitively against Riley Gaines, I believe was her last name. The dude, like, he was ranked 500 and something out of I don't know how many men. And then he transitioned and bam, he just won first place, right? There's that. There's my Twitter friend, Taylor Silverman, who is a professional skateboarder and was competing in a skateboard competition. And some, again, biological man. The guy's name escapes me now. But he won the competition and not my friend Taylor. And the prize was like $5,000. Listen, I don't care what part of the world or what part of the country you go to, $5,000 is a lot of money, you know, and things aren't cheap right now. And for her and all the women to be cheated basically out of a prize, out of a scholarship, it's fucking ridiculous, you know, mm-hmm. And that's what worries me. I don't want that to happen. If, you know, God is willing to bless me with a daughter one day, I don't want that to happen. You know, we have another case where it kind of hits closer to home for me, where we have biological men competing against women in MMA, right? Yeah. I have the names right here. We have Alana McLaughlin, who competed against Celine Proverse over at a promotion that I actually fought for in Miami, Combate Global, and they, you know, yeah, he competed against a woman, a biological woman, and he beat the brakes off her. I mean, go figure, right? What did we think was going to happen? And that's the kind of shit I'm against. I don't think that should be happening. At the very least, I think those people should have their own, like, league. And this isn't a controversial opinion at all.
Yeah.
People that are watching this would probably agree. If you don't, come and see me. We can have a debate. I'd love to talk to you about it because I'd want to understand what the fuck what really is going on in your mind. Where mm-hmm. you think that's okay. There are many advantages as a male that I have over you, you know. Even if we weigh the same, I'm going to have more of a physical strength advantage over you mm-hmm. than you would over me.
That's very true. And I think I am around fighters a lot, and just a lot that intensity, that energy, and coaches and stuff like that. And I'm like, I train pretty hard sometimes, but my work can't come anything natural to the natural strength of a man. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very different. Even just doing jiu-jitsu with girls, it's a different kind of hard than it is going doing jiu-jitsu with a man. Mm-hmm. And even if I've been doing jiu-jitsu way longer, I can still get submissions in, but the strength level is so incredibly different. It's like almost, it's almost offensive to expect those to ever be neutral and the same. And especially, like, as a woman, I am definitely not someone that's like, rights, we should, I don't know, I can't speak that message. But for a man to ever say or think he can do what I can do is disrespectful. And I think that you should feel the same way. If, like, as a woman, I can do anything that you can do because I feel like it and I want to, because that's really what it is at the baseline. You saying that you can do and be whatever you want. There's just some things you can't do or be if you want to, because, like, I have the ability to give birth to a child, and that's my privilege, and that's my right, and that's my gift that God gave me. A man, no matter how hard he tries, he can never do that. He could never do that. And for him to expect me to, sorry, a man that wants to be a woman could never do that. And that's, like, the raw basis of what makes us different. You'll never know the pain of giving birth. You'll never know the struggle of having a period every single month. You'll never know what it's like to be a woman. Oh, that is so controversial. It's okay.
No, but see, that's the thing, Hannah, is it's I think that we're led to believe that it's a controversial topic or it's a controversial idea. But you know what? I am going to stand my ground and say that a vast majority of people agree exactly with what you said,
yeah,
and what I'm saying. I think mm-hmm. you know, we spoke a little bit about cancel culture before you pressed play on this. I think a lot of people are scared to get canceled, and I understand. I mean, for good reason, right? You could lose your job, you could be blackballed out of somewhere, right? Or you could have, we were just talking about this week, you could have people that follow you on Instagram and they see the things that you're posting, like me, right? I've had a lot of people unfollow me and, you know, come out and comment on some of my things. And, you know, it's just, you got to just stand your ground. You know, it's either you stand for something or you fall for anything. And I believe that when you're standing for the right thing, you know, it should just be like something across the board where, you know what, if I lose somebody, oh, well, I'm standing for what I want and what I believe in. And, you know, I'm willing to die on the hill over the things that I'm talking about. And, you know, I feel like I'm standing up for the people that are quiet and the people that mm-hmm. think the way that I do and think the way that most Americans do. And, you know, I'm proud to be doing what I'm doing. I do it because I care about it and I'm passionate about it now, yesterday, and tomorrow.
Yeah. And I really respect that, because that kind of certainty, it's like I have certainty about having a podcast and wanting to grow it and have people share their truth. But there's other truths and values that I'm like, that one, just be quiet. Like, don't, because you can get, you know, things canceled. But it's like, I think the greatest fear is to let something like cancel culture prevent us from speaking the truth. Because like you said, as young adults, we're contributing to the future generation, to the next society. Like, how could my child that I have one day be like, wait, hold on, can you explain to this real quick to me? Because my friend just said that she was born a girl, but now she's a boy. And I have to look at my child and say, okay, I can either act confused, I can act like, well, you can be whatever you want to be, or say, you know, yeah, we were born one way and this person is doing something different. We have to decide that stuff now, because we're the parents of the next generation. What we choose to be normal now is going to blow up and be look very different in the future.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And, you know, since I fully agree with you, and now we can, since we're on the topic of children, we can talk about, or let's move on rather to the debate or the conversation of how the community, the LGBTQI plus whatever they want to add, they are indoctrinating children. They are actively doing it. That's I think without saying it, they want the kids to be gay. They want the kids to be trans. And again, I don't hate these people. I don't hate them. But at the same time, it is a social contagion where it's becoming more acceptable. So kids are seeing that. Listen, I don't know how impressionable you were at the age of like 12. But me as a young man, I was very freaking impressionable. I remember, I think at 12, I was into soccer a whole lot, right? And everything an athlete did that I looked up to, I wanted to do it. He had those mm-hmm. shoes, I wanted to do it. He talked a certain way, mm-hmm. I wanted to talk that certain way, you know? And with the advances in technology that we have, right? Like YouTube, I mean, I'm 29, right? I don't think YouTube was a big thing back then, but now, how old are you?
22.
Okay, so yeah, so your generation probably grew up with more of the freaking technology, right?
I'm
sounding like an old man right now, but anyways, yeah, so the kids nowadays have way more access to the internet and to all the things that are on the internet. Listen, you don't have to be a genius to know that there's a lot of bad shit on the internet, and that's when you go looking for it. But some of those things are just kind of fed down your throat, and kids are just, you know, they're sitting targets for that community to target them, right? We have many examples when it comes to Disney, LGBTQifying their movies with same-sex stuff. And do I agree with same-sex stuff? You know, that's a different debate for a different day maybe. But I just think that people should leave kids the fuck alone. This gets played out a lot, right? Let kids be kids. But really, it gets said a lot for a reason, right? You want a child to be a child and not a freaking sitting target for you to go and try to indoctrinate. I'm very against that. I think that's probably where I stand the strongest on, is leave kids alone. So another little background story is, I've been working with kids ever since I was 17, actually. My first job was being a martial arts instructor to one of my first instructors, who coincidentally enough unfollows me now because I'm sure the things that I've been saying, funny. Anyways, so I started doing that. I worked for the city of Gilroy for many years as a after-school program leader. After that, I took a break and I went to pursue my fighting, which, you know, it was good up until it wasn't good. And then I came back to the work world and I started working in the field of mental health. And that on its own is a different, like, it's a long topic, but in a nutshell, it was a lot of affirming kids that were confused, in my opinion. For example, there was a kid, I'm not going to name obviously, but he had two moms, right? He had two moms and his parents were divorced, and there was just the LGBTQ flag everywhere in the house. Mm-hmm. The mom had mental health issues. The wife of the mom, she had major health issues, mental health issues. So it was no wonder that this kid was a great kid. Mm-hmm. He was a great kid. Like, the kid was smart. He was intelligent. He was very talkative. He was a very mature kid for his age. I think he was 12 years old, right? But the surrounding that he was around was just, I think, toxic, because he wanted to coin himself non-binary, which again is a different topic right now.
What does that mean?
So non-binary means that you're not on the spectrum of human anatomy, right? You're not a male or female, which again, there's no such thing as a non-binary person, because if you are born a human, if you are a human watching this, you are subject to the human binary of male or female. People want to talk about how it's a spectrum. Well, spectrums have a far left and spectrums have a far right. It just kind of depends which side you're on. Still, however, there's two spectrum. You're either male or female. But bringing it back to the story about the kid, is he wanted to identify as non-binary, and I questioned him one time about it. And I didn't press him on anything because he's a kid and I'm not the parent. I was a support system to him, and I wasn't trying to overstep my boundaries, especially with work, because I didn't want to get fired. I don't want, listen, I have a good work history, and this is just not something that I wanted to jeopardize. And so I just questioned him about it. I was like, so, what does it mean to be non-binary? How do you know you're non-binary? And he told me this, and I quote, "It's just something you feel." And in my head, I was like, well, first of all, right, as I'm sure you know, and as I'm sure most people that are watching this know, facts are not feelings. I'm sorry, not sorry. And for you to say that's it's a feeling you have, what does that even mean? How do you describe the feeling? I wanted to ask him, so what does that mean? You know, just to kind of press him a little bit, but I didn't. I held back, and, you know, work is work, and I had to keep a line, and I had to keep a boundary. In fact, I had to keep a lot of boundaries with what I was doing because of, you know, of the fear of getting reprimanded and fired or you know, getting labeled as something I'm not at work when I was cool with all my coworkers. In fact, my supervisor was gay. You know, kind of goes to show, like, I'll work with anybody. It's really not about I hate you because you're this or that. It's like, if you're a decent person, that's fine. You can have your opinions. Listen, you can live your life how you want. Like, really, like, well, to an extent, right? Because we can get into little specific details about that. But, you know, for the most part, if you're not a shitty person, like, listen, if you're not hurting anybody, you're not pushing anything down anybody's throat, that's fine. You want to be with the man, like, that's, I respect it. Like, it's, you know, not for me, but that's your life and you're living in it, and that's, you know, that's okay. He was a good person, I thought, and it was gravy. But going back to this, is I was just scared to speak out and be like, hey, this kid tells me he's non-binary. Like, that's not a thing. Like, there's no such thing. Just like there's no such thing as a trans person. The idea that you, like, let's say me, I want to become a woman, just because let's say I was to get fake tits and I don't know, put on makeup and grow my hair as long as yours is, that doesn't make me a woman. Like, it doesn't make me a woman. I can pump myself full of estrogen and get rid of all the testosterone I have in my body, but that's not going to change the simple biological fact that I am a man and I can never be a man. And people want to talk about, and this is a huge one that I've encountered, huge one. It's a huge topic that community tries to ask me or tell me. They're like, oh, well, gender is a social construct and sex is a biological thing. Well, you know what? They go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. It's as a male, as a biological male, as a man, it's all tied in together, right? It's just nature, and it's ridiculous, I think, in my opinion, and I would love somebody to sit here in front of me and talk to me and debate the fact that they're two different things. They're not. They're all closely related to each other. You can identify as however you want, but that does not make it true.
So what is a woman to you?
So it's not to me. It's not to me. Like, this is not, it's not, you're asking me that question to me, but it's to everybody. It's a woman is a biological adult human female. That's what a woman is. A man is a adult biological male. Those are the definitions. Mm-hmm. I think to ignore those is not okay, because when you're taking meanings away from words, what does anything mean? What is the conversation that we're having right now? What does that mean? You know what I'm saying? So that's my definition. We can talk about womanhood and manhood, and I've heard a lot of conversation about this, but that is subjective. I think that is subjective. Like, how much of a woman you are, your womanhood, I think that's to each their own. I understand that. But I think the base is a woman is a, you know, like I mentioned. So.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you think is the, like, responsibility of a male and a woman? Like, even for a man that has more female tendencies or a woman that has more male tendencies?
Well, you know, I think that we have the choice to do their lives what, you know, we can within, you know, reasonable means. However, if you're asking me in my opinion about what it is, I think our responsibilities, my responsibility as a man is to procreate. The Bible states that you have to go out and be fruitful. You have to go and reproduce, right? You have many instances of people getting married in the Bible. Something that I'm currently studying, something I need to strengthen a little more because, you know, I'm still in Leviticus and it's been a while, but I'll get to it eventually. But my belief, my role as a man is to become a first and foremost a husband to a wife, and procreate. I want children. I do. And, you know, it all ties together with my beliefs and how I want my children to grow up. It's like I want, this is why I'm fighting right now. I guess advocating for it at least, right? I don't necessarily think I'm fighting for it. I'm just advocating for the rationale to, you know, for a man to be a man. And now you want to talk about a woman. What I think a woman, the responsibilities that she should take. For one, I think that she, her, you know, it's, I think a man and a woman, they should, you know, husband and wife. So I would say that on the other, across the aisle, a woman should be a wife. And I think if you have the capability to procreate, you should have children. And I understand that some people don't have children and, you know, or, yeah, you know, that, and that's fine. It's not going to hurt me. It could hurt society if you are able to and don't. It could hurt society. I think we're on a decline of, like, of people being birthed right now. So I think, you know, you helping the population is cool. But at the same time, I understand, you know, kids are a lot, I imagine. And if you don't, I, you know, still respect you.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting.
Now, let me ask you that. So what is your definition of womanhood possibly?
I think a woman can give birth to a child and a man cannot give birth to a child. Mm. But I'm very old school when it comes to my ideologies about like man and women. And that's maybe because of my upbringing and just having a cultural background. Men do the harder work. They do the labor. Women, they create that home, that family. They create the space for the children to grow and be safe and play with other kids. And like a man allows that to happen and a woman like pretty much creates it. That's why you want a woman to be more present. Mm. Like in my opinion, I love when I go to my friend's house or some friends in Pennsylvania. It's like the men work during the day and the moms watch the kids and cook. And it's so old fashioned, but it's like the most beautiful thing in the world because you see those kids just, they look forward to when daddy comes home and they have their mom throughout the whole day. And I'm like, that's called old fashioned and old school and maybe like hyper religious or what's another word they use, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, listen, you're selling a dream that I think most women should get on. I really do. So yeah. I mean, that makes me happy that you're actually even talking about that because, you know, I think that's good. I think that makes me very happy, actually. And I just wanted to go back on a quick little topic that I wrote down that you stated that, you know, that men are supposed to go out and go out into the world and work. And yeah, I think by large part, I think men should go and do that because I think, you know, you want to be a provider. But I do want to say that women, of course, can go out into the world, in the work world, and pursue a career and also work hard. And I say that because if I were to have a daughter, you know, I would want her to also be a hardworking individual. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you're not by any stretch of the imagination, but I think that I want to give space also for women that are maybe listening to this. And like, if you want to go and work hard and you want to go be a working woman, I mean, I think that's fucking great. I think that's great. So
yeah. And it's funny because I work a lot. Like I'm very ambitious. I like do a lot of stuff, but part of me is working so freaking hard right now so that when I have kids, I don't have to as much.
Well, you should work harder.
Yeah.
Whatever you're doing, work harder. Yeah. I mean, everybody, right? Everybody.
Yeah. And it's true. Like, especially if you're in California, you can't have that Pennsylvania living life where like one person stays home and one goes and works. Like I think it's so cute. And I feel like I would love to embody the whole cooking and making like a big, beautiful meal for my husband to come home to. And that's kind of like what I got to see, except my mom, she also worked a lot too because they ran businesses together. Mm-hmm. But it was just kind of like beautiful that way, in my opinion.
No, listen, I respect the crap out of that because that sounds like a good, good dream, good American dream that I feel like we should bring it back to.
So yeah,
I totally am on board with
that. Yeah, and like I think that a man should prepare for that.
Yeah,
I think a man should prepare to properly take care of a woman if you expect her to give birth to your children. Mm-hmm. Like she's gonna need that time to let the kid grow up, or you know, like you know, time for that baby to grow.
Yeah.
So she's already gonna have to take time from work. But can a man have the responsibility to take care of a woman? Because I also think that like the reason there's so much of this weird like individuality is because we can't really trust each other anymore like we used to. Like we're all not given as much responsibility as we used to have. Like a man should be responsible to take care of a whole woman, a whole group of kids. That is a man's responsibility. A woman should know how to be a moral support for a man and whatever she's doing and take care of kids. Like people don't have that kind of responsibility. Can't even babysit. Can't even trust a man to babysit a kid these days. They don't have that responsibility. So now it's all about our own self, our world within our own nature, where our sexuality matters. It's like that's what all of this really does come down to. Sex.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pleasure.
Yeah. And you know, it all started with Eve taking a bite of that apple and being tempted into sin. And here we are now today with all the topics that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. I forgot what I was going to say. I fully agree. And I do remember now. I think that a lot of what you're saying, I think there's an active assault on that way of thinking through the feminist movement. Listen, I'm all for women's rights. Like, I think the notion to say that women shouldn't vote or shouldn't like be able to go get a job and should only be stuck to the home, and I don't believe that. But at the same time, modern day feminism, and again, this is a whole another topic for maybe a different day, but I think feminism is avidly working to emasculate men, and emasculate men, really. And there's a lot of problems with that. That's what you have, I think, a lot of, like, you know, fatherless children. You have a lot of, you know, gender confusion. And I think feminism, by and large part, is a big problem right now.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of lies behind it too, because I talk to a lot of people like, oh, you're a feminist, what does that mean? Because there's men that'll be like, yeah, I'm a feminist. Like, oh, that's cool. Like, what does that mean to you? Mm-hmm. And some will be like, it just means that you like think that women should be treated equally. And I'm like, respect, me too. Like, mm-hmm. I'm all about that. Mm-hmm. Or I think that women should be given the same opportunity as men. I'm like, yeah, we see that all the time. Like, it's crazy. But oftentimes they're not really realizing what the whole movement is doing. Mm-hmm. It's making men seem like little, because there's people that explain it that don't know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And then there's the people that are saying like, oh, we hate men. Mm-hmm. They're the reason why society's this way. Bad men are the reason why society's this way. Bad presidents, bad leaders of society, bad people that are touching kids and stuff like that. It's like the good men are not promoted enough. The good men are the reason why, like, not having enough good men is the reason why society's being harmed. And the reason why we don't have good men is because we're constantly shitting on them because of feminism.
Yeah, and listen, I think I've heard you talk on this podcast about that a whole lot. And I'm all for it. I'm all on board. I see you with some questions. I want them.
Okay. there's not a lot, but... okay, obviously, I know you didn't really want to talk about this, but well expected. How compromised or how based is the MMA community towards trans issues?
Oh, I think we're very based. I think because we're just full of, you know, we're men. You know, I think that's I've always thought that fighters were cut above the rest. And I think that holds true for a lot of things. And because we're masculine, we're in a masculine role. We have, I would say we have more of a sense of what a man should be like and strive to be. And we're not with the whole like liberal movement. And so, yeah, that's how I would answer that question. However, I also want to say that, you know, you have bad apples in every fucking group, right? There's bad apples everywhere. So, as a matter of fact, I was actually just, somebody had just freaking DM'd me just yesterday and was talking something about, he reflected on my previous views of being a liberal, and replied to one of my stories, and he was like, Bernie Sanders in the UFC. I love fucking Bernie. Now I can't stand the dude, unfortunately. And he was like, yeah, Bernie Sanders in the UFC, two-term Trump outside of it. Fuck yeah. Matter of fact, I don't care what Republican it is. I think any Republican is going to beat any Democrat. I think it's better than any Democrat. I hope that any Democrat or Republican wins. Listen, the Democrats are fucking crazy people. They're part of the problem. But he was like, and I was like, my response to him was like, and I'm glad I woke up from the delusion. I was sucked into the liberal trap, which a lot of people are right now. And I was like, I presume that you were caught in it as well. And he goes on to say that, you know, I'm doing this for attention. And, you know, he goes to ask me a stupid question. He's like, what are the cameras for? Because I told him I wasn't looking for attention. He's like, what are the cameras for? And, you know, first of all, like, what the fuck do you mean? What the fuck are cameras for? Do you not know what a camera is for? Right? Pretty obvious. And he just kept pushing the issue that I'm looking for attention. And listen, I guess in a way that I am, because I'm looking to voice my opinion and I want to make sure that my voice and other people's opinions are heard. So I guess in that sense, yes. But am I doing it because I'm a fucking looking for, you know, I'm whoring myself out for clicks and likes? Listen, I don't give a shit. I really don't give a shit about any of that. And then he went on to say something about how he said, glad we could come to an agreement about something. Gonna go interview some trans and ask why they want me to C-U-M in their B-U-T-T so bad. And I was like, what are you talking about? At this point, like, this guy was delusional, right? He's like, yeah, sure, man, you made it to the UFC, but our fates are the same. Camera time with trannies. My movies with them are more fun, though. Like, just, I don't...
Does he also do that?
Do what?
Record with...
I know. From what I understand, like, this guy's making pornography with men. And listen, whatever. Like, that's, if that's your take, that's gravy. Whatever. But I don't understand what his topic was. And, you know... And this dude's he's a so-called fighter. But I've also seen this guy get knocked the fuck out. So I suspect that there's definitely some mental illness. And again, it kind of goes back to there are some bad apples in every community. So to answer your question, there are, I think, as I would say that a vast majority of us are pretty fucking based.
And Dana White, didn't he kind of go public about his views on this?
If he did, I'm not entirely sure. I don't really follow fighting as much as people actually think that I do. Even when I was fighting, I never really cared too much about it. So, I mean, I would watch like big fights, right? But I didn't really, follow it too much. I kind of just, it's somewhere in the back of my head and I don't really pay attention to it, so.
I feel it. That's cool. That's funny because when I do podcasts with people, they're like, oh, fighting, talk about fighting.
Yeah, I'm honestly kind of sick of fucking talking about it.
Yeah, and it's true because when I do talk to fighters, like, the thing that I find more interesting is, like, you know, what made you want to fight? What were you thinking before the fight? Who are the people surrounding that situation? Because, like, the emotional and mental, that's more interesting for me as if, like, a girl that's not. Like, I think fighting's cool, but I just don't know enough about it.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's cool. Question number two. Our children... delusional views, how or what can we do to protect our children?
It all starts with parenting. I mean, really, it really does. I think educating them when you believe that they are ready, and each one is going to be different from the other because only you will know your child. Like, if you start talking about what parts of a man or parts of a woman has, you know, you're talking to like a 5-year-old, they're not going to understand and you might confuse them more. So I think waiting for the right moment to talk to them about it, only you will know your child. I would say if you have the means, I would definitely recommend private school, Christian school, Catholic school, some kind of faith-based schooling would be great, but it's expensive. I hope to do that one day with my future children, but you know, the way things are right now, it's pretty freaking expensive. So I would... Yeah, like I said, it just kind of starts with parenting and keeping kids away from all that contagion. It's bad. So that's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. And this couple specifically, he's jiu-jitsu fighting. He's into all of that. Like, he thinks like us, where I guess if you ask this, you know what I'm talking about. You're already going to raise amazing kids because of the way you think, the way you teach, and the way you like even live out your faith publicly. It's like children are a product of their parents. I am 1,000%, 50% my mom and 50% my dad. I was also homeschooled. And
oh, good for you.
Yeah, it makes sense, right?
Yeah, it does make sense.
I didn't go to college either. I went 4 years of high school and that's it. But I went to a private Christian school. Mm-hmm. You don't get more sheltered than I do. Mm-hmm. You don't get more like, you know, my worldview is kind of small, but I've lived a lot. I've traveled a lot. But I'm glad that I have these values about my life, about things I think, things I say, because it truly does make sense. I'm not confused. Don't allow your kids to be confused. Your kids will believe what you tell them. They will be confused on what you're confused on. So if you're confused on something, think about it and have an opinion on it and teach them that. Because like, your kid can't be like, oh, like, let me figure it out. Let the kid be themselves. They're a kid. They're not meant to be themselves. They're meant to be guided with good options, and once they're on a path, like, then they can have the option to walk away, you know? Like, if your parents put you on fighting when you were young, it's like, whoa, fighting is me, but eventually it's not who you always are. You were a fighter for a certain amount of time and you're still young. Now you're not doing professional fighting, right?
No.
You're not.
No, I retired last year, and I haven't come out and like publicly stated like, oh, I'm retired, just because I don't have... Yay. I know, right? Yeah. Woo. I just, like I said, I kind of don't care too much about it. Like, I think that from what I've seen maybe on your podcast or what I've seen from different podcasts is people like, they want to talk about fighting so much and fighting this and fighting that. Like, I'm just so fucking tired of talking about it, really. Like, it's just, it's for me, it's time to move on. I've gone from Where's the camera pointing to? Like when this goes out in video, is it that one? So I've gone from fighting people to now fighting demons and poverty. So what that means to me is like I'm really trying to voice my opinion with all these things, and like I said, fight poverty. I want to go own some shit, man. These, you know, a lot of fighters right now, they're working their ass off, still amateurs, they're older dudes, and it's like, bro, like, you know, you got to look at this realistically. You're maybe 30, even 20 something is too late already, honestly. And I've seen some of the guys that you have on this podcast that talk about fights. Listen, guys, some advice I would give you is that's fine, chase your dream. However, you got to have a backup plan. You got to be skilled at something else. Go, just make sure you're ready, and you better be working your ass off to get to where you want to be. Otherwise, strap up and be ready to do something else to make an income, because fighting is tough. And, you know, if you don't have it, you'll know. I think we all kind of gauge where we're at, and you're going to be your biggest critic, and nobody should tell you anything that you don't already know about yourself. So if I go tell you that you suck, you probably should know that, and you shouldn't take offense to it. I think sometimes people are just pursuing the goal more than they should. And I understand, but you also got to have a backup plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm glad you say that, because sometimes I think fighting just brings people out of this different world into this community of people with big goals, with big ambition, with just high energy, passion energy, love energy. And like they just get addicted to that world because it's beautiful. Like I'm stuck in that too. Like I'd never want to not do jujitsu or boxing ever. Never, ever. I love it every day. But what, like, there's this whole aspect of life where, like, as much as I love it, it's not going to pay my rent. It's not going to let me go travel somewhere.
It could, but the chances of that happening.
If I want to do it like that, which I don't.
Yeah. Good for you. Go do something else.
No cauliflower ear.
Yeah, don't do that. Go do something else.
And it's good for, like, a fighter that already made it to, like, promote different options. Because for some, it really is a dream. For some, they're like, oh, yeah, that's all I needed. I don't want
to
do it.
Yeah, no, for sure. And listen, what I'm doing right now, I've gone from fighter to blue-collar dude, and I'm honestly enjoying the shit out of it. I work like 12-hour days, and I want fucking more, to be honest. Like, I'm putting my energy somewhere where I believe it's going to benefit me more in the long run. Like I said, maybe I'm just the guy that it didn't work out for me, and I'm just over here advocating against it. But I've just seen that other side, and even some of the fighters that people follow to this day on Instagram, like, they're not making a whole lot of money. They're really not. The UFC starts you off at like 12,000 a fight and 12,000 a win. That's if you win. If you win, that's 14,000 times another 14,000 if you win. Then it goes 16, then 18, etc. And listen, let's say you're fighting twice a year. Do the math. Let's say even three times a year. Let's say even four times a year. It's not a whole lot of money. So
yeah, that's kind of crazy. Yeah. It sounds nice. Like,
what, it sounds cool. One win, yeah. No,
I mean, cash to the hand.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it sounds nice. It's a glorious fucking dream, I'll tell you that. But it's not a, you know, some people make it work, some people don't. And if you do, if you're one of those people that do, fuck yeah. You know what I mean? Fuck yeah. If you don't, get your ass to work.
What do you think other communities are that promote, like, that kind of brotherhood and ambition?
Well, from what I've noticed, actually, is the blue collar now is blue collar unions. I think, you know, they're kind of more for, listen, I've gone with my ideas to the place that I'm working right now, and I chose where I'm at right now because specifically there's no fucking liberalism. There's nobody in there that's advocating for trans rights, gay rights, whatever. What do you mean how?
That's not a thing. Like, where?
In blue collar work, there's nobody talking about these things and supporting and promoting these things. You know what I mean? Like, blue collar people, we're not obsessing over all that. We're busy, we're trying to make money, we're trying to provide for our families and stuff, and that's how it should be. You know, we're not concerned, and we don't believe in all the fucking three genders, four genders, five, 1,000 genders supposedly, right? We're focused on supporting each other, supporting blue collar work. And like I said, I'm enjoying it very much. Another group that I could possibly think of are church groups. Mm-hmm. You know, so you said you went to private school. I'm sure maybe you had a church group that took you guys on trips and stuff, and you guys were always promoting the idea of Jesus and spreading the word and staying as a collective. I think that's another group.
What do you think about people saying that churches are harming children's thinking?
That's preposterous. That's preposterous. And actually, I spoke to somebody in one of my interviews, and they mentioned that Christianity teaches hate. It doesn't. It doesn't. I can see why they would think that, because the Bible it lists a way to live. There's do's and don'ts, just like there's do's and don'ts in society. So what you're trying to tell me is because the law tells you not to kill somebody, the law hates you because they're telling you not to do something. Does that mean you should hate the law? No, like, it's preposterous. What was the question again? I'm sorry, I forgot.
How does the church harm children?
Oh yeah, no,
indoctrination.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. I mean, if listen, I don't think that if you go by the Bible, you're going to be living a bad life. In fact, I think you're going to be living a very meaningful life. And again, I'm going to relate this back to me in my faith and how I've gotten closer to God and reading the Bible. I've noticed just a growth in myself and my work ethic and my vision and my pursuit for the things that I'm like chasing after. I think it's great. I think religion is great. I could see how people could think that they teach hate and stuff, but that's not the case. You can't compare chopping a kid's or a young woman's breasts off or a young kid's genitals off, or pumping a male with estrogen, or a young female with testosterone. You can't equate that to, let's say, saying that you shouldn't cheat on your wife. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't equate that. Those are two different things. Two fucking very different things. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. I really agree with you. And I think that was one of the most interesting things to me, how there's these really polar groups. And I feel like neutral cannot exist anymore.
No.
And that's why I was almost willing to do this podcast with you, because I'm like, I'm not teaming with any other side, but I am by not promoting the ideologies that I believe in. And something that we talked about before is, like, it's not about canceling people or, like, if you think like this, you're canceled. It's like, as young adults, we need to make sure that there's no ideologies being promoted, if we could have a say, like social media and platforms, that could harm a child. Like, I am a big anti-sex trafficking, like, the things that are happening, pedophilia, because the trauma that happens to a child when they're touched prematurely is so sad and heartbreaking. It never goes away. You have to do a lot of therapy and just randomly deal with the PTSD, and a lot of people have been molested. So that's obviously something that I'm going to speak against any chance I get. Like, may every single person that does that get the greatest justice, whatever that looks like. So if there's another ideology that could promote harming a child's body, I think that's also damaging, because as I kind of see what, like, it is, it's like me being a 13-year-old kid and wanting to get a boob job because my friend Tina has big old boobs and, oh, I want that because she's beautiful and girly. Like, I want to be like that. Yeah. Like, you can't change external to fix internal. It's not about canceling people. It's about what is the real root of the issue. What is going on inside of you that makes you think you need to change anything outside of you? There is not a mistake when you were made. There was no mistake when you were born. Not any pill, not any surgery will make you feel better. It's you realizing that God did not make a mistake. Nothing went wrong when you were born. The odds that you were born are phenomenal. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
And that's what your message is. It's not out of, he wants my people to die. He wants my people to be illegal. It's like, no, like, I want you to be okay.
Yeah. And, you know, you're talking about this, and just for those people that maybe don't know, and just maybe for you to know if you don't already, when people are advocating for trans rights, what they're really saying is they want the children to be able to get surgeries before they're adults. They want children to be pumped full of hormones, cross-sex hormones, before they're 18. And listen, that's such a drastic move on your young life that there's no going back to that stuff a lot of the time. You could get your breasts removed and stuff if you have a boob job, if you're a dude. But as a kid, it's just a life-changing thing. And people want to talk about my body, my choice. And that's a very hot take. But I think that, yeah, it is your body. And to a point, you do have say over your body when it comes to certain things. However, just because it's your body and your choice, does that mean it's okay to go and do something negative with your body and your choices, right? Like, to go kill somebody? Does that mean that it's okay to go, you know, physically go and kill somebody? Is it okay to go and drive your car because it's your body and your choice to go drive your car into somebody's, I don't know, fucking building or something. No, it's not okay. But yeah, that's a different talk, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there any other questions on your little thing?
It was kind of similar. Well, do you think it is far off to say that, like, getting plastic surgery is kind of equivalent to getting a sex change?
Well, listen, I think that as long as you're 18 and above, you can, that's okay. I mean, well, I don't agree with women even getting breast jobs if they're women. I guess the only exception is maybe like if you had breast cancer, you know, and you want to, you know, that's my only exception, right? There are some exceptions, right? But generally, I'd say that if it's true for one thing, it should be true for everything else. If it's false for one thing, it should be false for everything else. But there's some wiggle room in between some things, right? You'd have to bring up an example for me to really comment on that. But what was the question again? It was what? Would you ask me?
Is plastic surgery, like, is it wrong to kind of compare that to, like, getting a sex change? Because I know there's hormone pills, but at the end of the day, it does come down to a very visible surgery if, like, a woman was getting her boobs cut off.
Yeah, well, look, I think, like I said, I think it just comes down to how old you are. Do I agree with it? No. Do I think it should happen? No. But ultimately, if you're a legal consenting adult, sure.
We should just get all the freedom to do whatever the frick we want to do at 18. Realistically, 21.
Yeah, well, you know, I think there's signs to prove that. I think most people don't finish developing up until like 25. So I think, you know, I've heard this before too, and I think people should wait till they're even older than 18 to get, you know, a sex change. But, you know, as the United States recognizes that the legal age of consent, and that's when adulthood comes into play, is the age of 18. So sometimes that doesn't make sense to me either, because you can be 18 and go sign up to kill somebody overseas as part of war, but you have to be 21 to buy alcohol here. See, like, certain things, you know, and this is just a different debate for a different day possibly, but some of these things don't make sense, and I think that they should leave things across the board flat out.
Yeah.
And, you know, consistent, really. But, you know, yeah.
So you think the government makes good decisions for our country? No. Why not?
I mean, yes and no. Yes and no. Yes and no. I think you can take certain things. I was having a heated debate yesterday with my friends about the government. You know, there are certain things you could take that the government does that is good. You could take certain things from the government that is bad. For example, a bad thing I can give you. So you're 22. I don't know how, along with like getting your credit score up, you know, yours is right now, right? For me, when I was 22, I didn't really care about credit, and I didn't really understand credit, right? Because I want to buy a home one day, I've been looking into getting my credit score up, right? As any, I think, functioning adult should. And so the Biden administration, I believe 2 days ago, I think it was Thursday or Friday, I can't remember what day it was, but they're subsidizing credit scores to make it where people with lower credit scores than you could bid on a house, even if they have a shitty credit score, versus somebody like me who's been fucking working their ass off, being responsible with my finances, mm-hmm. and getting my credit score up. For them to subsidize the credit score for a house, it's like, it's such a slap in the face, Hannah. Like, it's such honestly, it's such a slap in the fucking face. I feel very passionate about some things, and that's one of them. I was like, bro, like, I shouldn't have to, not just me, hardworking, financially responsible people should not take a hit because Jimmy doesn't give a shit over there, wants to be late on his fucking payments, and is biting off more than he could chew with loans, and doesn't make sense. But
my credit score is not bad. I got a good credit score.
That's good.
And when I saw that, I was like, I'm gonna forget to pay some things.
Yeah, no, and I think that was a by and large part, I think that was a big response to people that, I mean, I follow on Twitter. Like, it was all over. I was like, bro, like, I get it. Like, it makes you not want to pay your fucking your credit card, you know, this month. But, you know, I'm gonna err on the side of safety, and I would advise that you continue paying your shit off. I'm gonna continue paying my shit off, even though I shouldn't. But, you know, yeah. It's part of being an adult.
Yeah. Well, we were around at that time. Did you want to have any like closing statements about like your not so smooth talk and maybe the mission behind it and some underlying last sentences?
Yeah, for sure. So listen, guys, if you found this interesting, I would suggest that you go and follow my page, Not So Smooth Talk. Stay up to date with things. I'm working a lot, so sometimes I'm not posting like twice a week, but I think, you know, as long as I'm posting once a week, I'll try to aim for that. I try to go and interview people, and if anybody ever has a question, hit me up. If anybody ever has a request for some kind of video or a question to ask, hit me up. Other than that, there's only two genders. A man can't be a woman. Leave the kids alone. Protect women's sports. And have yourselves a great day.
There we go. Okay, guys, thank you for listening. Again, follow him on Instagram and have a beautiful, great day. Thank you so much for being here and doing what you do and sharing what you share. Goodbye, guys.